Hello, hello. This is Kathavani. Welcome back to this episode of Ramayana, episode 15, Dasaratha's Sleepless Night. In the last episode, a joyous Kaikeyi welcomed the news of Rama's coronation set up for the next day. Her old nursery maid, Mantra, who brought her the news, soon manipulated Kaikeyi to reverse her initial happiness. After Mantra's persuasive misrepresentations, Kaikeyi believed that Rama's coronation as heir to the throne would endanger her son, Prince Bharata's life and future. Now Kaikeyi lay in the dark on the bare floor of her chambers, neither participating in the festivities on the eve of Rama's coronation, nor welcoming Dasharatha's return to her chambers. Dasharatha, shocked to find her this way when he returned to the palace after making arrangements for the coronation, readily agreed to grant her desires to make her happy again. Kaikeyi stunned Dasharatha by claiming the two boons he'd rewarded her a long time ago. She wanted, one, Bharata's coronation as heir to the throne, and two, Rama's exile to the Dandaka forest far away from the kingdom to live like an ascetic for 14 years. Dasharatha, overwhelmed after hearing Kaikeyi's unrestrained and irrational wishes on the eve of Rama's coronation, wondered if all this was a nightmare, a hallucination to hasten his death, or a mental ailment. In this episode, we see how Dasharatha reacts to Kaikeyi's ill-advised wishes, and Kaikeyi uncompromisingly defends her son's interests. Dasharatha sat on the bare floor next to Kaikeyi in her chambers, dazed, like a snake sedated by the snake charmer's pungi, the musical pipe instrument. Kaikeyi's two wishes, coldly expressed, profoundly shocked the old king, Dasharatha, physically and mentally. He went through a variety of emotions, denial, rage, disbelief, disappointment, mortal fear, and he went in and out of consciousness, trying to cope with the physical symptoms and the mental anguish. After somewhat composing himself, he realized he hadn't misheard his beloved wife. This wasn't a nightmare, and neither was he a hallucinating. Kaikeyi's intentions were real and her resolve strong. He tried to reason with her. He recounted aloud to her the numerous occasions in their past discussions where Kaikeyi praised Rama's exemplary conduct and how she thought Rama was more beloved to her than her own son Bharata. He reminded her how proud she'd always been of Rama's stellar conduct, equanimity, and his gentle ways. Dasharatha recalled how Kaikeyi believed herself to be more beloved to Rama than his own birth mother Kausalya. Kaikeyi remained silent and cold, without responding to Dasharatha's pleas and thoughts expressed aloud. Dasharatha, on his end, was perplexed about the dramatic change in Kaikeyi, who never interfered in matters of administration or decisions pertaining to the kingdom, and who had forever been the one person in whose carefree company he could completely relax and forget about the burdens of being king. He'd sought her cheerful and optimistic company that day as well, to rejoice completely without any apprehensions or obligations of duty. He was convinced that someone else had recently poisoned his simple, guileless young queen's mind against Rama. Dasharatha continued talking to her despite her silence. "Devi, I can leave the patient Kausalya. I can be without the wise Sumitra. I can live without this kingdom, wealth, but how can I live without Rama? The whole country knows Rama's righteous conduct and he is rightfully beloved. Under what pretext do I banish him from this kingdom? Without Rama, I will die. Kaikeyi, you will be widowed. Would you still enjoy the pleasures of being queen mother after I am gone, even if Bharata is king?" With no response from Kaikeyi, he angrily lamented, "How did I mistake this evil miscreant who is going to bring about the disgrace and end of this illustrious clan to be a beautiful woman and marry her? In my old age, I have wronged Kausalya and Sumitra. I neglected them all these years and embraced this poisonous snake." And he again switched his tone. O Kaikeyi, I fall at your feet, an old man, have mercy. Listening to Dasharatha's passionate words, Kaikeyi taunted him. O Chakravarti, Emperor, you speak about Satya and Dharma, truth and virtuous conduct, and now you repent giving me the two wishes when I saved your life in the battlefield? What will you say when you gather an assembly of scholars, learned Brahmanas and Rajarishis? Would you be able to talk about righteousness, Dharma and truth, Satya? Would you reveal to them that you broke your promise to your own wife? You will bring disgrace to the Ikshwaku race, renowned for their adherence to truth, if you do not keep your word. King Sibi gave his own flesh to the predatory hawk to save the life of a little pigeon that sought refuge in him, unwaveringly following the path of Dharma and Satya. King Aleka sacrificed his own eyes, pulled it out himself to keep his word. Follow these examples of the earlier kings before you, King. Do not deviate from the path of righteousness, believing that you will live happily after that with Rama as king and Kausalya receiving homage as queen mother. If you ignore my wishes, you've abandoned me, your lawful wife. I will kill myself by consuming poison today. The Ikshwaku race will be disgraced by your refusal to uphold Satya and your deviation from the path of Dharma if you break your promise. If you do not grant my two wishes, how will you ever speak again of Satya or Dharma? Listening to Kaikeyi's ruthless words, the king besieged her further, highlighting her own upbringing, reasoning with her what would happen if Rama was exiled. He narrated the possibilities that Rama would readily leave to go to the forest if that was his father's command. But Bharata, his wise and beloved son, would not tolerate this injustice to his beloved Rama and would refuse to sit on the throne. The kingdom would fall into chaos. The whole country would deride him for sending away his heir, his firstborn, because of his lust in his old age. Without Rama, Dasharatha said, he and Kausalya would die of a broken heart. Sumitra would follow him in death as well. Sita would probably not survive living in Ayodhya without Rama and would follow them into the afterlife. He cautioned her that only she, Kaikeyi, and Bharata would be left behind to rule in a kingdom devoid of joy and justice, divided and set upon by enemies. The long day stretched into sleep-deprived night as Kaikeyi and Dasharatha maintained their disagreements, each reasoning without convincing the other. Eventually, Dasharatha, in his grief, exclaimed that if Bharata desired the throne or accepted Rama's exile, he'd lose his rights as Dasharatha's son and hence would not be able to perform his father's funeral rites. Then Dasharatha changed his tone, laid down at Kaikeyi's feet and praised her, asking her forgiveness for his harsh words. He reiterated Rama's qualities, Rama's control over his senses, body and mind, and the total absence of anger or meanness supported by Rama's ever-forgiving nature. Dasharatha drew Kaikeyi's attention to himself, the mighty emperor of immense powers at her feet, and asked her to magnanimously give the kingdom to Rama and be regarded kindly now and in posterity for her graciousness. He attempted to convince her that he was keeping her away from sinful decisions and actions. Kaikeyi remained steadfast in her resolve, offering no comfort and urging the king to keep his word to send Rama away and make Bharata king. Dasharatha lay, writhing in anguish, tormented by his beloved wife's demands on the eve of what he thought would be one of the happiest days of his life. As the night passed and dawn lurked, Kaikeyi goaded the king. Why do you act like you would commit a sin by keeping your promise to me? Mighty king, act like it behooves your status. Follow the path of truth. By following the path of truth myself, I remind you about your dharma, your duty to be truthful. Truth is Brahma, the supreme reality. Truth is the imperishable Vedas. Dharma is established only in truth. The supreme can only be achieved through the means of truth. fix your mind on dharma, uphold your virtues. Keep your word to me and send Rama away. Use this coronation ceremony to crown Bharata heir. If you break your agreement, you abandon me and I will end my life in your presence. Dasharatha lay there in anguish, heart beating fast, face pale, overwhelmed by tears and struggling to stand upright. With great difficulty, he stood up and addressed Kaikeyi. I married you with Agni, the sacred fire, as my witness. Now I disown you and the son begotten with you. Rama will perform my funeral rites with the materials collected for this coronation. Neither you or your son can participate in my funeral. Kaikeyi, enraged by these words, recklessly reminded him that he still needed to fulfill his duty by carrying out the wishes he had granted her by sending Rama away and making Bharata heir. She urged her husband to summon Rama immediately. Dasharatha, immensely distressed and shaken to his core, feeling like he was at the brink of death, exclaimed, I am bound by dharma. I am lost. My intellect is destroyed. I do wish to see my beloved Rama. Meanwhile, Maharishi Vasishta, surrounded by his disciples, all of them bearing sacred materials needed for Rama's coronation ceremony, approached the palace grounds accompanied by musicians. All along the way, the wise sage Vasishta Maharishi was delighted to see the festive streets of Ayodhya and the people already gathering and joyously preparing for the coronation ceremonies of their beloved Prince Rama. The streets looked clean, washed and decorated with flowers, flags, garlands of leaves and flowers. Tradesmen were setting up stalls to sell their merchandise to the happy crowds. Fragrance from the flowers, sandalwood and incense pervaded all directions, adding to the festive and sacred feel. The Muhurta, the auspicious time, approached and the state star Pushya was ascending. The people who had gathered were excited to see the procession of Sage Vasishta and his disciples and joyously cheered them on their way to the coronation pavilion. Sage Vasishta then set out to the palace to inform the king and his ministers. The palace, too, was already abuzz with activity in the wee hours in preparation of the coronation. The chief guru, Sage Vasishta, greeted the chief minister, Sumantra, cheerfully and requested him to announce his arrival to the king and that all the preparations for the coronation were complete. The sage informed the minister of the numerous golden jars of water from the sacred rivers of Ganga, Yamuna, and holy streams and the seas, and the sage described the throne made of the sacred Udumbara wood from an ancient ficus, specifically used for ceremonies and sacrificial yajnas, and the new tiger skin sitting mat readied for the ceremonial throne. The sage announced that all the necessary items for the ceremony, many varieties of seeds, grains, perfume, precious stones, honey, curd, ghee, milk, flowers, and other items were collected in gold and silver vessels. He told the chief minister about all the well-decorated elephants, the bedecked chariot drawn by four white horses, a well-adorned white bull, a specially decorated palanquin with well-dressed bearers, special white fans made with yak tails, sword, bow, and all the other materials that were readied for the coronation. Vasishta Maharishi was delighted to share his impressions about the festive streets of Ayodhya prepared for the coronation. Vasishta Maharishi requested the kind Sumantra to inform the king that the star Pushya was ascending at dawn and that all the preparations were completed for the coronation and everyone was eagerly awaiting the king. The coronation pavilion was already filling up with people, kings, nobles, eminent citizens, villagers, merchants in their stalls, dancers and musicians, entertainers and their animals, including lions and bears. The chief minister, a renowned charioteer, rushed to greet and awaken the king to begin this happy day. The wise and old Sumantra stood outside Kaikeyi's inner chambers, singing praises of the Emperor Dasharatha, announcing the successful completion of all the preparations for the coronation, and describing the festive streets of Ayodhya and the assembly of gurus, brahmanas, kings, nobles, and the happy citizens eagerly awaiting the ceremonies. He bid the king to wake up immediately to start Rama's coronation ceremonies. Dawn would break soon, the arrangements complete, and everyone was awaiting the king to initiate and install Rama as crown prince during the Muhurt, when the Pushya star ascended Rama's astrological zodiac. King Dasharatha relapsed into grief, listening to Sumitra's affectionate and traditional morning greetings and blessings. He exclaimed uncontrollably with excruciating, heartfelt pain when he heard the additional details of the completed preparations for the coronation. Sumitra, an excellent minister, shocked to hear the anguish in the emperor's voice, stepped in and saw the wretched state of the king. Dasharatha was too overwhelmed to talk. Kaikeyi seized the opportunity to inform Sumitra that the king was resting now, since he hadn't slept through the night deliberating about the preparations for the coronation. She instructed Sumitra to summon the good prince Rama to see his father. Sumitra, relieved that nothing else was amiss, hastened to Rama's chambers to bring him to his father. On his way to Rama's palace, the chief minister saw the preparations in the pavilion set up for the coronation. The well-decorated throne with the tiger-skin mat, the white horses, the magnificent elephant decorated for the royal ride, the white bull, the gold and silver vessels filled with grains, nuts, ghee and other items, the golden jars filled with water from the holy rivers, streams, ponds and the seas, the neatly arranged gifts and tributes from the various kings and leaders for Rama's coronation. Sumitra's misgivings about the king's delay were immediately assuaged by these sights, and he cheerfully rode his chariot to Rama's palace through the throngs of happy crowds, excitedly waiting for the king and the coronation to start. The streets leading to Rama's beautiful palace were lined with joyous people. Outside the palace, a magnificent elephant stood waiting for Rama to mount it, and it was surrounded by several chariots and horses. Chief Minister Sumitra made his way through the happy crowd inside and outside Rama's palace. He was ushered into Rama's inner chambers, where the young prince sat on a majestic seat alongside the beautiful Sita. Rama and Sita had followed their guru's instructions the previous evening and earlier in the pre-dawn morning in preparation for the ceremonies. Sumitra greeted Rama warmly and informed Rama that King Dasharatha, who was with Queen Kaikeyi, desired to see Rama right away. Rama, calm as ever, even on the morning of his coronation, turned to Sita and explained to her that his mother Kaikeyi and father probably had additional wishes for him for the consecration. Sita accompanied Rama to the palace door, wishing him well, adding that she was looking forward to the coronation ceremony where he would take the sacred vows. Rama was greeted by his beloved brother Lakshmana just outside the palace, and they joined Sumitra, followed by the chariots of his friends and well-wishers who'd gathered inside and outside his palace. We will end this episode here, at this light-hearted place where Rama, greeted with joyful cheers, music, dance, and showered with flowers as he made his way to Kaikeyi's palace on the morning of his coronation. In the next episode, we will see how things turn out for Rama and the rejoicing crowds of Ayodhya. Ram Ram.